And we're back. Another episode of the Collier Cast, episode 16. Coming to you in the new year, 2021.
I can't believe we made it. We're in the new year. I wonder what's going to change.
Probably nothing. So today we're going to talk about Bill Gates, and we're going to give you a brief little timeline. Pretty much starting in 2009.
So this timeline was gathered from a video that me and Brian watched. We've also sourced this video in our links. This is a timeline that was gathered for Bill Gates and primarily focused on the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which was started in 2000. And primary focus is on the Good Club, which is a club, I guess, a bunch of billionaires get together. And I guess that was started in the year 2009.
Yeah, so some of the members are Bill Gates, George Soros, Warren Buffett, Oprah Winfrey, David Rockefeller, Ted Turner, I think Andrew Carnegie was one, Eli and Edith Broad. And basically, all together, everybody in the club is worth $125 billion. So the meeting was called upon by Bill Gates and David Rockefeller. And they were just talking about pretty much, like, economic...
So pretty much they were talking about the economic crises around global crises and downturns and what they can do for the global response for the crises and stuff like that.
So 2009 was the first year this club got together, and unfortunately we tried searching, but it doesn't look like there's any evidence that they met ever since 2009, but it's probably secretive. The first time they met was in New York, and I believe it was at the home of Paul Nurse, who at the time was the president of the Rockefeller Foundation. I don't think he was involved in the meeting, but they used his house. So
it was just something notable to mention in the podcast, which we will include in the sources, but which we found was, I guess he was, what, the CEO, or he was one of the members of the Rockefeller Foundation, as you mentioned.
Who?
The house that they met at?
Yeah, Paul Nurse. Yeah, he was the president of the Rockefeller Foundation.
President, gotcha. Okay, yeah, definitely. So, this is the topics that were focused in the Good Club, which is, which I have written down, which goes to mention it on, about education, emergency relief, government reform, depth of economic crisis, global health issues such as overpopulation and diseases.
And we'll get into some of those diseases stuff and overpopulation later in the podcast, but
which is interesting because I don't know if you know this, but finding out about those statues or stone figures that were just these stone objects that have like writings on it, and I guess like a lot of people like discovered it and like long like graffitied on it, but what the imprint of in the stone actually says is something about like there should only be a certain amount of population in the world.
Oh, are you talking about the Georgia Guidestones? The Georgia Guidestones, which are, I don't remember where, but I think they're somewhere in Georgia for sure. But yeah, they talk, and it's got a couple of different languages on how to, you know, have like a sustainable population or something.
And does it mention something like the population in the world? I'm not too quite familiar.
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with it either, but I've heard of it. But back to Bill Gates. Him with his wife Melinda Gates, they started the Bill Melinda Gates Foundation in 2000, and I think right now it has like something like 30 billion assets. And most recently they invested $27 million in Monsanto, which produces the Roundup. And they also produce seeds, which are genetically engineered. So, like, a lot of the seeds that you're probably buying from, like, Walmart or even, like, Lowe's are probably all genetically engineered.
Well, even, like, the seeds that they're being provided to the farmers.
Yeah.
Or chemically, or GMOs, or altered.
Because the thing is, they're altered to survive with Roundup. Farmers can spray the crops with Roundup, and only the genetically altered ones will survive.
And we all know until recently that there's a lawsuit, or been a lawsuit going on with Roundup, saying, well, that, you know, causes cancer, and a lot of the people that have been around it have been affected.
Between April and June 2010, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation bought 500,000 shares in Monsanto.
And that's, you know, an interesting thing to note, too, going forward is, you know, Monsanto, and, you know, is another company being backed by Bill Gates, diving into one of those, you know, laboratory meats, you know.
Yeah, like Impossible Burger and Beyond Meat and all of those.
Which is another crazy thing to, you know, discover that, you know, our meat is not... is not actually, you know, really good for us. It's all from a lab. So speaking of the Impossible Meat Burgers, it's backed by Bill Gates, Google, and I know I'm slaughtering this. This is, I guess it's a Hong Kong company, but it's called Leica Xing's Horizon Ventures, which is all being backed by Impossible Meat. I'm wondering why they they're enforcing, you know, this type of meat on us, you know. And if you also realize, or in the news, they go to mention that our meat is on the decline and how, like, there's, like, a scarcity of meat because of this COVID-19 situation.
Yeah, it's crazy. They always just adding something else. Remember, there was also the coin shortage. There was a shortage of coins. And that just went away.
That just went away. That's not being talked of. But, like, really, is there really a coin shortage? But going back to Bill Gates and the Gates Foundation, he's actively promoting a model of industrial agriculture. So he's increasing the use of agrochemicals and patented seeds. So meaning, like, to get through, or to even have that kind of seeds to grow, you have to go through them, since he patented the seeds, as well as extension services of large focuses on genetically engineered crops. The Gates Foundation also supports projects involving other chemical and seed corporations, including DuPont, Syngenta, did I say that right? Syngenta. And Bayer.
And the DuPont is, I don't know if it's directly related, but, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it's related to the DuPont family, who's a pretty wealthy family that's not really talked about too much, but they're pretty high up there. That's for another episode.
Apparently, they're, like, I don't know the statistics, but the 15th most...
Really?
They're up there. They're of... being the most wealthiest, up with the Rockefellers and all that.
And, I mean, they have a big pharma company, so you do the math.
And then I'm going to leave Brian to go off on this. I think it's called, I don't know if we're slaughtering the names of this, but the...
I read it as the Gavi Alliance, but it was partially funded by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation in 2010. A staffer with a government health initiative in Ghana, which is in West Africa, was testing the contraceptive Depo-Provera on unsuspecting villagers in the remote region of Navrongo, part of something they called a population experiment. So basically they sterilized all these people in the village.
And I don't know if you remember this, but I remember hearing about this story back then where they were doing these experiments on for, you know, not getting pregnant, obviously, contraceptives. and they were testing it, you know, on these villagers, women, you know, many women on these villagers that they were testing these experimental drugs, and I guess there was many, you know, significant severe side effects. You know, many including, you know, that they couldn't birth the child anymore.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's actually, like, the point of the drug, is so they can't reproduce.
Part of his plan.
Yeah, population control. So, that was in 2010. We're going to jump to 2011.
Which is interesting, because, you know, during this point, he clearly mentions that I don't think he ever spoke with him, or, you know.
Yep. That him he's referring to is Jeffrey Epstein. So on, I think that's January 31st.
Yep, January 31st, 2011.
2011 is the first meeting face to face between Mr. Jeffrey Epstein and Bill Gates, and it happened at Jeffrey Epstein's townhouse on the Upper East Side in New York. They were joined by Dr. Ava Anderson Dubin. And she, who happened to be former Miss Sweden and was a former girlfriend of Jeffrey Epstein. And she was there with her 15-year-old daughter at the time.
And I think it goes later on mentioning that Jeffrey Epstein later dates her 15-year-old daughter. Or, you know, later on.
I wouldn't be surprised. So, and then in March of 2013... Bill Gates flew on Jeffrey Epstein's plane from New Jersey to Palm Beach, Florida.
So what was his plane called again?
His plane was called the Lolita Express. And so that's just one connection Bill Gates has with, you know, alleged underage child abuse. But in 2014... police arrested one of his workers at his house for allegedly having more than 6,000 child rape photos.
He's just a fall guy.
Yeah, maybe, allegedly.
Yeah, so the guy, apparently, you know, quote-unquote fall guy, Rick Allen Jones, so reportedly employed as an engineer at the Gates home, so, what does it say? It's also accused of trading porno images, you know, via email.
I think he used his Gmail account, so it's crazy because I think Hillary Clinton also used her Gmail account, and it's just like all these people, like, using Gmail, you know.
Getting exposed.
Yeah.
How secure is Gmail? So what is this? So he was charged? Okay, so he was actually charged with the crime in late December of 2015. And what does it say? And then he admits to child rape videos and photos for a decade long. This was going for over a decade, and he admits to doing so. And he's sentenced to only 90 days in jail.
90 days for having 6,000 photos of child rape.
It's been going on for over a decade.
That's kind of why you figure, like, you know, he had to be a fall guy or something. Because only 90 days. And then as soon as you get out, what, you go back to working for Bill Gates? Who would know? Who would know?
But, like, the average Joe would be in there. And they would toss the key.
So, in 2015 also was a big TED Talk. And this TED Talk, it talks about the next outbreak. So, which is, you know, kind of like the precursor to this whole, what's going on now with COVID-19. Bill Gates talked about it back in 2015.
Which you might want to, I don't know if you want to say it's ironic, but... you know, this is Bill Gates himself, you know, mentioning that they could be, you know, he's going on in this video mentioning, you know, the pandemics of his time, and the next pandemic could be, you know, not bombs, but viruses. So we're going to go ahead and play a little snippet of this TED Talk video that basically was like
the first snippet we're going to play is he talks about three reasons why Ebola didn't spread more.
There's three reasons why it didn't spread more. The first is there was a lot of heroic work by the health workers. They found the people and they prevented more infections. The second is the nature of the virus. Ebola does not spread through the air. And by the time you're contagious, most people are so sick that they're bedridden. Third, it didn't get into many urban areas, and that was just luck. If it had gotten into a lot more urban areas, the case numbers would have been much larger. So next time, we might not be so lucky. You can have a virus where people feel well enough while they're infectious that they get on a plane or they go to a market. The source of the virus could be a natural epidemic like Ebola, or it could be bioterrorism. And so there are things that would literally make things 1,000 times worse.
So that was the first, that was actually a good chunk of what we were going to play.
Kind of like sounding a lot like COVID-19.
Yep. I noticed he said specifically going to the market. So we have a couple other snippets. Sorry, I'm just trying to cue them up.
Yeah, so it's just totally odd. It's just like he goes to mention that, you know, the wet market where, you know, foreseeing that it was possibly in a wet market, how they also mentioned in the mainstream media news, as well as, you know, how they also mentioned it was a pangolin or some type of rare species only native to China. How also they also mentioned that it could be nasal and spread through the air and like something that we don't see necessarily. So all these like foreseeing things that he's been telling us, it's just very odd in this TED Talk.
And then yeah, in this TED Talk he also talks about cell phone tracing, which is now in the COVID era kind of known as contact tracing.
Well, that's very interesting, because if you guys all like notice or didn't notice at all, but when this whole COVID started to come about, each phone in Android and Apple iOS phones alike started having, you know, in their settings a COVID tracking thing, so you can also, so it would notify you if you've been in contact or been around anybody who has COVID.
So let's listen to what he says about the cell phone.
In fact, we can build a really good response system. We have the benefits of all the science and technology that we talk about here. We've got cell phones to get information from the public and get information out to them. We have satellite maps where we can see where people are and where they're moving. We have advances in biology that should dramatically change the turnaround time to look at a pathogen and be able to make drugs and vaccines that fit for that pathogen. So we can have tools, but those tools need to be put into an overall global health system.
So that's pretty interesting. Talks about, you know, this is again 2015.
And then, yeah, in 2015, again, yeah, like you said, like, pretty crazy that, you know, they have the tools, like he mentions, they have the tools, and then we have it in our hands, our cell phones, that they can get information from us, meaning that they know our location or whereabouts.
And then here's another snippet we're going to play of this TED Talk.
We need to do simulations, germ games, not war games, so that we see where the holes are. The last time a germ game was done in the United States was back in 2001, and it didn't go so well. So far, the score is germs 1, people 0.
So he doesn't really break down what he means by that, you know, so you kind of have to look up, what does he mean germ games?
And then, yeah, what does he mean by germs 1 and then people 0?
So the germ games he's talking about, it's called Operation Dark Winter. And apparently on June 22nd, 2001, the United States launched Operation Dark Winter, which was a germ game that revealed how vulnerable we are to pandemics.
And this is government Operation Dark Winter.
Hold on, I think I haven't queued this one up yet, so I think...
I think we have it queued up at, for the first part of the video for a reason. I think we have to play just the first part.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, I think so.
On June 22nd, 2001, United States government began Operation Dark Winter. Operation Dark Winter was not a war game. Instead, something more unusual. Dark Winter was a germ game. In 2001, the US military, government, and media launched a mock battle against pathology. The premise was simple. A bioterror organization released a deadly virus into the country, and smallpox is spreading quickly. The US government must now react to contain the outbreak and stop further harm. How did we do? The results were disastrous. Within 48 hours...
So, that's basically a quick little rundown. We'll post a link to this video so you guys can watch the whole breakdown of it. But it's crazy that he brings it up in the TED Talk, but doesn't really bring it up ever again.
What's this that goes on about mentioning the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, along with the Clinton Health Access Initiative, are two of the seven organizations? What is it?
They're creating rapid COVID testing for low-income countries. They're targeting the poor people, basically.
Gotcha. And why would you think that is?
Well, because it's easier for them to get rid of the poor people. Because they're poor, you know?
Is it all for their agenda? Like, they depopulating the world? Is that truly their agenda?
I mean, I don't know for sure. I'm not 100% an expert on anything, but... I mean, I don't think they have really our best interests in mind, you know? I think it's mainly their best interests.
And they certainly do not understand the grasp of, like, our reality of money and, like, a 9-to-5 job and getting, you know, a paycheck maybe just 2 weeks, every 2 weeks, biweekly, you know, for maybe for only just $500. They don't grasp the concept.
You guys can look this up, but in 2019, the Netflix documentary show called The Next Pandemic, Bill Gates was featured on this episode, and he predicted that a virus outbreak would begin in a wet market in China. And that was back in 2019, so just last year, or 2 years ago now, because it's 2021.
Oh, wow, yeah, 2 years ago now.
And then in March 2020... Bill Gates announced he's stepping down from the board of directors for Microsoft and devoting more time to his philanthropy, including health, education, and climate change. And then in May 2020, United States terminated their relations with the World Health Organization, which... if it's permanent and it's legit, that would make the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation the top donor above any government in the world to the World Health Organization. So basically, they would be running that.
So what we have queued up for you guys is a meeting all gathered for... And it's basically... It's called the John Hopkins Group, and they're all discussing on ways they could counteract false, quote-unquote, fake news.
So here we go. This was on Event 201, which you guys can look into that.
Okay.
Countries are reacting in different ways as to how best to manage the overwhelming amounts of dis and misinformation circulating over the internet. In some cases, limited internet shutdowns are being implemented to quell panic.
How much control of information should there be? And by whom? And how can false information be effectively challenged? And what if that false information is coming from companies or from governments?
I think it's very important that we make sure that there is concise communication with all healthcare facilities where these patients are being treated so that there isn't mass panic.
We're at a moment where the social media platforms have to step forward and recognize the moment to assert that they're a technology platform and not a broadcaster is over. They, in fact, have to be a participant in broadcasting accurate information and partnering with the scientific and health communities to counterweight, if not flood the zone, of accurate information, because to put the genie back in the bottle of the misinformation and disinformation is nigh impossible.
One thing we haven't spoken about, and I'm wondering whether it's time to talk about this, is a step up from the part of the governments on enforcement actions against fake news.
I personally do not believe that trying to shut things down in terms of information is either practical or desirable. And we do have, I think, a couple of strategies that are available to us, one of which is the flood strategy, second of which is relying and informing and equipping trusted sources of information with the facts so they can then pass that on. But we also need to actually think about a technological answer to this.
So as you can see, Bill Gates, I mean, he's a shady dude, and if you get to that level of wealth and power, I mean, you're probably shady. I mean, I think his mom worked for the CIA, I think officially as a front desk receptionist or something like that.
Shady dude with a lot of connections.
I think his dad was a banker or something. He was a businessman for sure. And so he comes from money, you know?
Yeah, he came from money. And it just so happens during this, when this whole pandemic came about, and, you know, along with other CEOs who stepped down, along with Disney, he stepped down, and he wants to, you know, fulfill his philanthropy ideals and, like, missions with, you know, I don't know, quote-unquote, depopulating the world.
Yeah, right? I mean, he hangs out with George Soros and guys like that. George Soros is known for, like, crippling economies in, like, European countries. So it's like, you just look who he hangs out with, and he lies now about he says he doesn't know Jeffrey Epstein, but they've hung out multiple occasions,
you know? And it's on record. Like, if you look it up, George Soros, he is, you know, one of those guys, one of those players that's been around since, what, World War II? I don't know.
Yeah, like, I think so. I think he's been around since World War II.
If you look him up, you look at it, look how shady this guy is. His whole main goal is to cripple, you know, I don't know how to say this, but, you know, definitely he's on his own winning side. Like, he's his own winning person. He's not really, like, siding on any other team. He's his own team.
Yeah.
That's what I see it as.
For sure, yeah. They're definitely not for the people, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, even he hangs out with Rockefellers. He hangs out, you know, he's does business with DuPont. You know, he gets around, you know, so he's met all these shady people, all these shady bloodlines.
Just, like, you know, DuPont, he, you know, very wealthy, you know, very wealthy name with the Vanderbilts, Rockefellers. These are all very wealthy names. George Soros, they are very wealthy, and they're hanging with the top tier, you know, 1%. These are the 1%.
Yeah, for sure. And it's like, you wonder how he gets into, like, how people get into these positions, you know? But it's like, even, like, as simple as, like, Anderson Cooper, who came out, you know, he's got CIA relations, and he's a Vanderbilt, so he's on the news, you know? It's like, they have agents everywhere. Everywhere.
And I know you're probably going to, you know how, like, conspiracy theorists are looked at, like, crazy, but people are probably, like, look at you crazy if you were going to tell them that there's spies, you know, everywhere, that there's spies. Even that there could be spies, they're like, they would look at you different.
Yeah, I mean, even they said that fentanyl was created here and smuggled back to China, where it was, like, worked on more. And
that's very interesting.
They say the Chinese government pays a lot of money for students to come over here and go to other countries.
Quote-unquote spies. Yeah. So, like, they come in through our educational system. They come in through, you know, our college system. So that brings up a good point where I remember hearing an article or reading a story about it was a Chinese scientist who was trying to, not a scientist, but he got a degree somewhere, engineering, science, maybe, like, health for, like, you know, medicine, stuff like that, but was trying to, like, bring something from here, patents or something, like something of value over there, so they can replicate it and like steal it.
Yeah. See, the thing about China, yeah, they don't have any copyright laws. That's why there's so many fake iPhone stores, fake Apple stores. I mean, and even they're so fake to the point where like some of the employees think they're actually working for Apple when they're not.
That's crazy to think they go through, like, you know, the whole nine yards, even with the uniform, the Apple uniform.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, they go the whole way with it. But it goes to show, you know, it's like you really can't trust anything, anybody.
No, I mean, I know.
Back to Bill Gates, you know, he's got no medical degree. He's not a doctor. And we're going to listen to him.
They have him on constantly on mainstream news.
And you can't even, like, he's not even, like, you know, the picture of health himself. He just looks like an old man.
I mean, does he look healthy?
Yeah, I wouldn't say he looks healthy.
I mean, and think about it. He's a college dropout.
Yeah.
A computer science guy. Has no field in health at all. Science, medicine, being a doctor whatsoever. He's a computer science guy. And if you want to dive deeper into Bill Gates, he stole the codes of the being, you know, making computers itself.
He's probably just a rich guy, right place, right time, you know.
And there's also photographs of him and many other programmers at this time. And in the photo is of one of the programmers he's actually got the code from. And for real, all about just being, you know, right place, right timing, just being manipulative.
Who you know. It's all about that, you know. Yeah, they aren't selected, man. They aren't elected, they're selected.
But we can definitely bring up that patent.
I forgot. So, companies like Microsoft, Google, Facebook, all that, they mine your data through, like, you know, what you're, like, looking at online, what you click on, and ads and all that.
And then so they do this through all through ads, and how, like, these ads are, you know, very sophisticated, and they can, like, track you through every web page you go, and whatever you visit, it's being tracked just to have a better understanding of what you like and such like that. So this is just getting more deeper into the realm of, like, you know, how cryptocurrency is coming about. Well, it's not really coming about, but it's been here for about a decade now. And so I'm going to let you take it on from there.
So in 2019, an application was filed by Microsoft Technology for a patent. So it's patent W02020606061. And what's interesting about that is if you took the zeros away, you'll have 666 right in a row.
And if you look at it, it's very noticeable, and you know, you definitely see 2020666. Yep. So it's very odd that even in that.
So what this patent is basically the abstract reads: it's human body activity associated with a task provided to a user may be used in a mining process of a cryptocurrency system. A server may provide a task to a device of a user which is communicatively coupled to the server. A sensor communicatively coupled or comprised in the device of the user may sense body activity of the user. Body activity data may be generated based on the sensed body activity of the user. The cryptocurrency system communicatively coupled to the device of the user may verify if the body activity data satisfies one or more conditions set by the cryptocurrency system and award cryptocurrency to the user whose body activity data is verified. So basically,
you know, those wearables that we have today, you know, that track, like, user data, like, how many steps you move. This is going beyond that.
And now they're going to start paying you. It's going to start being, like, they're going to start, you know, using you to...
So not only that you can get this form of currency, cryptocurrency, electronically, like... So...
you are the machine, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
Basically if you did a motion, if you did something,
they're rewarding you. Yep. You got a reward, like a little pet.
So it's just going into the direction of the Mark Bees. It's just going in the direction of, like, of tracking, you know, how they know everything, every purchase you've done.
I mean, yeah, it's... It's, you know, it's just how they work, you know, just trying to find the next thing, you know. Before, it was oil. Oil was a huge thing. Oil mining. And now it's data mining, and they mine your data. And soon it's going to be, what's it called? Your body mining, you know, then you're doing the work. It's not these algorithms in a computer.
It's not the computer doing the work, it's you. It's you are going. You are the machine.
Yeah, and now you're working for the computer.
I mean, it's like, I know it's crazy, like, this, you know, a lot of truth in these movies, like, you know, Transformers, not just Transformers, but I'm drawing a blank. not just Iron Man. I'm drawing a blank, but the music is like throwing me off. A lot of truth, but like what I was gonna say is the Hulk. In the Hulk, there were like these sound waves, and I guess, you know, this technology was around, but, you know, obviously the military didn't come up and say, you know, we have this, but. In around 2005, I don't know, 2006, there were one of the Hulks that was, you know, played, you know, showed, you know, these sound waves and taking down the Hulk, and it was just like this massive equipment, and it was just sound that basically they blasted enough sound to, you know, penetrate, you know, or take somebody down, which was interesting. And then I think somebody from the military is quoted saying that that's real during that time too, during that time period.
That goes back to our episode we did where, you know, like, the Department of Defense has oversees all the movies that come out of Hollywood. They all have their hands in it. Everything from Food Network, MTV, Department of Defense, U.S. Military, CIA, they all have their hands in it.
We're all going, you know, AI. We're going in the direction of Skynet. Yeah. We're going in the direction of, like, I don't know if you know, seen those movies on Netflix where, I don't know what the show's called, but basically, like, where it shows futuristic, I view it as futuristic scary scenes.
The show Black Mirror.
Black Mirror, where it's basically like a robotic dog. If you like stole something, this robotic dog gets activated and it chases you down. And then, like, well, in the show, basically, like, it pretty much like kills you. But, like,
yeah,
it's like pretty savage.
Yeah, I mean, eventually that's how it's gonna be.
Yeah, that's why it's crazy, because it's like, you know, truce. In movies, because like Transformers, you think, yeah. oh, it's just like movie, but like
it's fake.
We're gonna see those days eventually. That's gonna be moving by itself.
It's crazy because you go back and watch like old Star Trek episodes. They're like talking on like, you know, cell phones, basically little flip phones, like, and now I'm like, oh, my phone flips. Like, this is back when like flip phones were big. It's basically like Star Trek. You know, and that's what like they were talking about back then. You know,
and that was crazy.
Yeah, so it's just even like, video chatting, like that's a thing.
That, well, I mean, to me, that's still like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
These kids today that are coming, you know, to them, that's just normal. That's normal.
In like spy movies, I'm gonna talk to my watch. We have that now.
Yeah, that's
we
crazy.
We have that now.
And that was, to me, when I was a kid growing up, that was just a thought. I was like, wow, wouldn't it be cool if we had a device where we can
just. Yeah, the secret agent.
Yeah, or even like go on like a computer.
But yeah, it's crazy. All these truths in the movie.
Truths in movies and how technology seems to be advancing a lot quicker than humanity.
Yeah.
Humanity. But
I mean, I guess we're gonna wrap up this episode.
Episode 16.
Episode 16, a little shorter than our usual episode, but kind of had to bust it out quick.
But it was good coming at you guys. You know, we needed to come out with a new podcast. for the new year, 2021.
Especially for the new year. All right, signing off.
Signing off.